Finally. How's it going there?
Technical difficulties resolved. We still haven't figured it out, but we'll make it
exactly.
work.
Exactly. Let's get started, Larry, with what's going on right now between Iran and Israel. We had Iranian shooting missiles toward Israel, and Israelis talking about these missiles. And how did you find this attack on the part of Iranian and Israel?
Well, when you compare it to what happened in April, this was certainly a dramatic step up. And it both revealed some problems within the Iranian government itself. We talked about this, I think, on Monday, that President Pezeshkian admitted that he had delayed following the orders of Ayatollah Khamenei. The Ayatollah had ordered retaliation for the murder of Ismail Haniyeh, the Hamas chief negotiator, when he was murdered in Tehran. And Pezeshkian didn't follow through on those orders because, according to Pezeshkian, he was bamboozled, convinced by Washington. And I don't know, there was probably some other intermediaries involved, but they told him, look, if you hold off, if you don't retaliate against Israel, just don't give them a reason to react. We'll get the ceasefire in place. They'll stop killing the Palestinians. And we'll make progress on a two-state solution. And Pezeshkian, who's, you know, a physician, supposedly smart, but said, oh, okay, and went along with it. Well, then what did the Israelis do? They stepped up their campaign of murder in Beirut. First, they tried to take out, top echelon of Hezbollah using the exploding pagers, and then followed that up with bombing a complex of apartment buildings just in order to kill Hassan Nasrallah, the Secretary General of Hezbollah, or the party chief, and along with another senior Iranian general. The Israelis have killed several Iranian generals. So that was the straw that broke the camel's back in Iran. And when Pezeshkian admitted that, apparently there was just fury. I think that he was going to even potentially be deposed as president, thrown out. So they finally gave the green light for the Iranian Revolutionary Guard to do what it had been planning to do all along. And what they did was, we have to go back and compare it to April. In April, the Iranian attack was a demonstration attack. And what I mean by a demonstration attack, it was designed to show Israel what Iran could do if it was really serious about destroying Israel. And that's why they launched first the wave of drones, followed by a cruise missile, then followed by the ballistic missiles, all to arrive about the same time. But the West was fully apprised that it was going to happen. Israel knew that it was going to happen. Turkey knew it was going to happen. The Saudis, the Jordanians, everybody knew. So Iran didn't go out of its way to hide that in April, which is why they gave the West ample opportunity to be prepared to shoot down those missiles. Now, it did do one thing. It sort of drained U.S. and Israeli supplies. At least their inventory was drawn down as a result of that. But then the reaction of the West, instead of acknowledging, coming out and saying, okay, yeah, the Iranians can actually hit Israel, something they've never done, never done. You know, in 70 years of Israel's existence, or 76 years, this is the first time, that April is the first time that Iran pulled that off. So now, what happened yesterday was they ratcheted it up. Again, Iran advised both Washington and Moscow that we're going to hit Israel, but we're only going to hit military targets. So in a way, they also gave Israel forewarning that this was going to happen. But apparently the Israelis didn't, you know, make adequate preparation, or maybe their preparations were incapable of stopping the Iranian attack. But in any event, at least 188 missiles. There have been some reports of 400. What I find amusing is it looks like the Israeli press spokesman went to the Ukrainian school of how to lie to the press. Because just like the Ukrainians after a Russian missile strike, oh, we shot them all down. We shot them. Yeah, we shot all the hypersonic. We shot them all down. Meanwhile, there's shit exploding everywhere. And so here are the Israelis, like Baghdad Bob. No, there are no tanks. Oh, yeah, we shot down all these missiles. And you see them. You had the clip up there. Boom, 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 boom. And in some, you can specifically see a missile fired from the ground, which is an Iron Dome. It's going up, up. And here comes the Iranian missile in, and they pass each other. You know, they don't even connect. So this is this was a massive strike by Iran. It reportedly did significant damage to the Nevatim Air Force Base, which is in the Negev, south of Jerusalem, directly south. Quite, you know, a couple of, you know, 100 miles or so south, I believe. And that they targeted that base in particular because that's where the attacks against Hassan Nasrallah were launched. Also, reportedly, that's where the fleet of F-35s were. We don't know. The Iranians claim that they destroyed 20. The Israelis claim, oh, they didn't get a one. Who knows? You know, I think the truth lies somewhere in between there. Now, Israel said, oh, you know, Israel's acting like they're the offended party. You know, well, we were minding our own business and those nasty Iranians came and hit us for no good reason. No, Iran demonstrated the difference between Iran as a civilized state and Israel as a terrorist state. Israel routinely kills civilians. Okay, I can make the case that from a military, you know, Hassan Nasrallah could be a military target. Fine, assassinate him. But that doesn't mean you go in and kill his family. That doesn't mean you go in and kill a bunch of other civilians, which they killed, the Israelis killed without caring. You know, well over probably 1,000 people. What did Iran do? Iran hit military targets, and actually the Israelis had enough warning that they could probably go hide in bunkers and not get any of their personnel killed. They just did damage to the infrastructure. So that's the difference. So now Israel's vowing that it's going to retaliate. Well, good luck with that. Because, and I may be wrong, but I believe that in the aftermath of the assassination of Haniya, Russia provided air defense systems, S-400 air defense systems to Iran, along with personnel to operate or train the Iranians to do it. So those are positioned around oil fields, around key military bases, installations, missile sites, nuclear facilities. And if Israel tries to launch an attack on Iran, the minute they launch an attack, particularly with missiles, you can anticipate that Iran will immediately retaliate. They're not going to wait. They vowed, you know, they've warned Israel, if you attack us, we're going to come back with things that are more destructive. And it'll be more destructive because this time they're not going to give them advance warning. They're not going to tell them where they're going to hit. You know, this time they will catch Israel completely unawares. This thing could get out of hand, though, quickly, because if the United States provides any support whatsoever, directly participates in this, Iran's vowed that it's going to destroy all the oil facilities and American bases in the region. And Iran, I think, can do that. And the United States is not in a position to defend, like Al Udeid Air Force Base. You know, Patriot missiles are going to be totally ineffective against the Russian I mean, the Iranian hypersonics that reportedly were used. So we're now waiting to see what Israel does. They were saying, oh, last night they were going to strike immediately. Well, they didn't. So they just shooting their mouth off. And this comes against the backdrop where, you know, they started to just sort of step into Lebanon. Yeah, they got 40 guys, an entire platoon ambushed. And, you know, reportedly 37 of them are in the hospital. You know, 8 died. So they got, you know, Hezbollah is not Hamas. Hamas is, you know, like a bothersome mosquito. Hezbollah is like a swarm of killer bees. And they're not a nuisance. They can do serious damage to the Israeli military. And Israel started to find that out. They tried to creep into the territory. If Israel's dumb enough to go in, they're going to get their ass handed to them.
And Larry, when it comes to these missiles that Iran has used in this attack, what do we know? How many of these missiles were hypersonic? And
I don't know. I've seen at least one video. You can tell the hypersonic because of the speed at which it comes in and the noise it's making, because it's, by virtue of being hypersonic, it's breaking the sound barrier because it's flying, you know, 5 times the speed of sound, at least. It has quite a noise. So I've seen one. I don't know how many they may have used. There have been some that have said upwards of 10. So this is, the Israelis, I think, have grossly underestimated Iranian capabilities. And that's why I say Israel, in its hubris and arrogance, is going to pick a fight that it won't be able to get out of. And I don't think the United States is in a position really to save Israel. Another thing that would really save Israel at this point is for Biden and Secretary of Defense Austin to say, hey, we're done. You're not getting any more money. You're not getting any more weapons. Stop the fighting. Agree to a ceasefire. Save Israel from itself, but they're not going to do that. So this is going to escalate. And Israel, I mean, they are so incredibly stupid. You notice that the Israelis now announced that the Secretary General of the United Nations, Guterres, is a persona non grata, that they'll arrest him if he comes to Israel. Bunch of morons. Yeah, and then they want to go make speeches at the UN. God, the rest of the UN is avoiding them like us. Sexually transmitted disease.
Larry, in terms of air defense system of Israel, if they were so confident about their air defense system, how do they feel right now, before this attack and after this attack?
Well, they're acting like the friggin' Ukrainians. Oh, our systems are working great, man. We shot everything down. You know, if you can't be honest with yourself, saying, you know what? Our system sucks. It's incapable of dealing with this threat. Instead, it's designed to deal with something much less lethal, much less mobile. But no, they don't. They're in denial. You know, it's not just a river in Egypt. They're in denial, and they just continue to insist. Oh, Iranians, this is another great failure. I could show you. I'm on some email chains, which are populated by a number of pro-Zionists, Americans who are very pro-Zionists. And when you share some of the videos, they go, "Oh, that's just Iranian propaganda." Well, wait a second. It was a video taken in Israel, not by an Iranian. Okay, and there are multiple videos like that. For God's sakes, the friggin' television stations were broadcasting it live. You could see it. And you're telling me, oh, it just fell in the desert. It didn't hit anything important. Because if it hit something important, the Israelis would tell us. God, you believe in Santa Claus too, don't you? And the Easter Bunny? Oh, for God's sake. You know, the Israelis, the one thing they're really good at, apart from killing women and children, killing civilians, unarmed people, they're also really good at lying.
And how is it going in Lebanon? It seems that Sky News reported that 14 soldiers were killed. And before coming to live, we've learned that 32 wounded and more 8 soldiers. We have more than 14. And right now we have 8 more soldiers being killed. And on the other hand, Gallant is talking about the situation, the difficulties that they're facing by this offensive. How do they find it? How they can justify this decision right now? Because the way that they're going into Lebanon, it doesn't seem to, that they have any sort of plan on their part. They're just going in and they're thinking that Hezbollah is totally weak. And on the other hand, Larry, let's remember that this attack, this Iranian attack on Israel, would boost the morale in Lebanon.
Yeah, well, the problem with Israelis, they believe their own bullshit. I mean, they lie to themselves. We're the best. We're the strongest. You know, we'll defeat Hamas. You know, remember, now they're making excuses. Oh, well, we really didn't want to defeat them. We just wanted to weaken them. And we've weakened them, yeah. Yeah, you've killed a bunch of women and children. Yeah, and you've created piles of rubble where the Hamas insurgents, guerrillas, call them what you will, can come out and snipe at you. You know, they can kill an Israeli here or there, but not inflict any significant casualties. The casualties they're inflicting are on these women and children living in tents. Then they're told to go there by the Israelis. Oh, go there, you'll be safe. And then as soon as they're there, the Israelis bomb them. I mean, it's really, it's cowardice on grand scale. Well, now they're going to against Hezbollah. Hezbollah is actually a real army. You know, they've got a genuine military capability that Hamas does not. And, you know, they got into a fight yesterday and Israel got its ass kicked. Now, it'll take a few more of those before the leadership will finally come to their senses and say, we can't keep this up. I mean, they can't sustain those kinds of losses. You know, if they start losing 20, 30 soldiers a day, you know, they weren't losing that many in Gaza because, again, it's a civilian population. You know, 99% of its civilian population, they don't have armed guys running around with RPGs and Kalashnikovs. And they certainly didn't have artillery. Well, here's Hezbollah. Hezbollah's got artillery. Hezbollah's got drones. Hezbollah has rockets. Hezbollah has missiles, both cruise and precision ballistic missiles that they have not used yet. They have trained combat forces. They have entrenched defensive positions that are well fortified, underground, interconnected. And when they get what they're called interlocking fields of fire, the terrain it's not a flat, basically flat terrain next to the ocean. It is a mountainous terrain with it's much more like trying to navigate some valley in Afghanistan. It's land built for a defender, not for an invader. And Israel in this case is an invader. I think, you know, Hezbollah is just sitting there. And their daily prayers are going, you know, Allah, please bring the Israelis on the ground. That's what we want. If they do, Israel will be defeated. And then they're going to lick their wounds. But right now, I can show you email, you know, 3 or 4 different emails from these different Jewish gentlemen. And they're all, oh, Israel's going to wipe the floor with Hezbollah. And one of them said, then we're going to go get rid of Bashar al-Assad. Kill Assad. And then they're going to eliminate the Houthis. And then Iran. Yeah, this Israelis are going to be busy, busy beavers over the next millennia. You know, so they can't get rid of Hamas, but yet they're going to get rid of Hezbollah, the Houthis, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and all the Shia, fighters and religious movements in Iraq. Yeah, that's going to happen. And you try to tell them they're delusional. They don't. You can't even have a discussion with these people. You get immediately accused of being an anti-Semite. So it's like, okay, I just step back and watch them. They're gonna get beaten. And maybe if they get beaten bloody enough, they'll wake up and say, maybe we should try a different approach. Maybe we see if we can actually work out a peaceful accommodation with the Palestinians. But that's the problem with the Israelis. They're not interested in that. They don't care. Palestinians are not human beings. And so what do you do with things that aren't human beings? Insects, bugs, rodents? You destroy it.
Here is what Washington was talking about before this attack happening between Iran and Israel.
Times military pressure can enable diplomacy.
Yeah, he says here, military pressure can enable diplomacy, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that
that's true.
That's true. That's true. Twice, yeah. And it seems that they're thinking that before this attack, Iranian attack on Israel, they thought that Israel is capable of defeating Hezbollah in Lebanon.
Hmm?
And do they have the same type of calculation right now, in your opinion, in their mind?
Yeah, still, yeah, I think so. You know, their goal is to, well, when they said they were starting, I made fun of it the other day. They called it a limited ground operation. I think we talked about that. That's that. Yeah, I'm only going to get you a little pregnant. Well, you know, either you are or you aren't. And limited ground operation, yeah, there was a thing called Vietnam. We started that off as a limited ground operation. And it turned into a big deal that, you know, cost 58, 59,000 American lives and, you know, hundreds of thousands of Vietnamese lives. So, you know, I think Israel is embarking on a similarly foolish venture. They already demonstrated in 2006 they couldn't dig Hezbollah out of its bunkers. And in the ensuing 18 years, Hezbollah's gotten stronger, better equipped, better trained, and they're more capable fighters now than they were 18 years ago. And Israel hasn't exactly distinguished itself as a combat expert in the region. Again, they're good. As long as they're fighting women and children, they're you know, Barney badass. When they actually have to fight somebody that can fight back, they're not that good. They're not that well trained. This all goes back to training. You know, their training standards are from, in my view, because you can see it in their lack of command and control, is mediocre.
And you pointed out a very important and significant point, that is the training system of Israel. These people who are sending them, these soldiers that they're sending them to the battlefield in Lebanon, how right. capable are they? Because the quality of soldiers is so important when it comes to the battleground, on the ground, fighting each other.
Well, again, the Israelis are largely a reserve force, so that means you know, citizen soldiers. They're not training all the time. Hezbollah, unlike the Israelis, have been involved with combat operations in Syria over the last 12 years, and they've got a lot of combat experience fighting against other people who can shoot back at you. You know, that's one of the ways you learn. Those who survive the experience are able to pass that training on to others. So that's an advantage, actually, I think Hezbollah has, because this is, you know, Israel just dropping bombs on apartment buildings and then going in and patrolling through rubble. You know, that doesn't mean they actually know how to run good combat operations on the move and come in, particularly if they come into territory where they're being ambushed, as apparently happened to this, you know, platoon yesterday. They were some of their most elite soldiers, and they went in and they just got They got clobbered.
Yeah. It seems that the Biden administration, they're saying that if they hit nuclear facilities in Iran, they're not supporting this type of attack on Iran. And but how, what do we know from the from Washington right now, and how they want to react to this attack? Are they trying to find some sort of military solution, or they're thinking of other solutions?
No, well, look, I think I think the Biden administration is really trying to avoid a war before November 7th. They last thing they want to do is start a war up with Iran and then have that jeopardize the campaign of Kamala Harris. It's already in trouble, but it really put her into trouble. Because one of the themes has been, hey, Donald Trump, during his 4 years, kept us out of wars. Didn't start a new war, kept us out. Now here's Biden, got the United States embroiled in Ukraine, and now with potentially Iran and conflict in the Middle East. Americans have no stomach for more war. Sick and tired of it. But the problem is, I don't know if before you got married, if you'd ever had a terrible girlfriend that was, psychotic. That's Israel. Israel's like some psychotic girlfriend, I'm going to throw gasoline on you while you're sleeping and, set your house on fire. Israel's out of control. And because they've got such firm control over the political process in the United States, they feel they can act with impunity, do whatever they want.
Larry, if they attack Iran, let's assume that, what would be the response of Iranian, and how are they talking about it right now?
Well, they just said that it would be more destructive than what they just did. I would fully anticipate, one option, that as soon as Israel launches an attack and Iran becomes aware of it, that they will immediately launch then on pre-designated targets, which they've already, they've identified the targets. And I think they will continue to hit key intelligence, Mossad headquarters, 8200 headquarters, other military bases. Only this time, they're not going to warn. They will not warn Israel in advance. So they're going to catch Israel, if you will, a bit by surprise. The other sort of unknown in this is if the air defense systems, if Russia has provided the air defense systems to Iran and they're in good working order, that if Israel launches an attack and it actually fails because you've actually got some real world air defense systems at work, that could cause Israel to step back and say, oh, wait a second. If the United States gets involved in any way, then, the world's going to be on fire, because Iran has vowed that they'll take out all the oil-producing platforms there in the Persian Gulf and will attack U.S. air bases, like Al Udeid is the big one in Qatar. And apparently Qatar is out begging, Iran not to do anything. What Israel does over the next 2 or 3 days will determine if we're going to set the world on fire, or if we might catch a breather and get everybody calmed down and talking. I think that the world's going to be on fire, is my own view.
How do you see the policy of Russia right now, considering what's going on in the Middle East?
Well, Russia, number one, is supporting Iran, making it very clear that it's not supporting Israel. Neither is China. China's in the same boat. And you both have Russia and China conducting military exercises, I guess, over the last 5 years with Iran. And Russia's in the process of finalizing a comprehensive, let's call it defense arrangement, defense agreement with Iran. So, you know, it's part of this alliance. It's let's call it the military extension of BRICS. Because you're going to have the BRICS conference in 2 weeks in Kazan, where they're trying to nail down the actual economic framework that would be used to sustain trade and commerce. But they're ultimately, they'll wind up being, if you will, a military alliance dimension to this as well. So if the United States gets involved with a direct attack on Iran, we could potentially see both Russia and China get involved as well, coming to the aid of Iran, which is why I say this thing could get out of hand quickly.
Are we having some sort of tensions between Russia and Israel in Syria?
Well, yeah. I do not know why they've not been able to put in some of the air defense systems around Damascus to shoot down the Israeli aircraft. And Israel continues to launch attacks into Damascus. I mean, again, it's a lawless state. It attacks anybody, anywhere it wants, without regard to whether they're killing civilians or not. Any other country doing that would be condemned, justifiably so, as a terrorist state, which is exactly what I think Israel is at the moment. It is a terrorist state.
And it seems, Larry, that Netanyahu was trying to talk with Putin. He was so desperate in finding some sort of channel to talk with Putin. But how do you see right now, and why he was doing this, why he was trying to talk with Putin, what he was looking for with this talk?
Well, I think maybe the rational part of him was hoping he could get the Iranian, rein the Iranians in, you know, to help them, you know, so they scale back. They don't do as much damage to Israel as they can. the Russians, I hopefully told him, screw off. You know, you made your bed, you lie in it now.
Because the Russians are now talking about the conflict in Lebanon. They're asking Israel to withdraw all the troops from Lebanon.
Yes.
Because they don't accept this type of behavior on the part of Israelis.
Right.
But on the other hand, they don't consider any sort of concern coming from Russia. At the same time, they're trying to talk to Russia not to support Iran, if that was the main objective of this attempt.
On the one hand, the strong supporters of Israel and opponents of Russia condemn Russia for having invaded a country unjustly. Okay. They invaded Ukraine. Now, Russia's justification is the Ukrainians were attacking Russian-speaking people and were working with NATO and building up a military force that was going to attack Russia. So from Russia's standpoint, it was an act of self-defense. Well, Israel is arguing that what it's doing is also an act of self-defense, except the attack that was initiated on October 7th, almost a year ago now, it cost 1,139 lives. Now, I maintain that as much as 50%, maybe more, of that number was killed by Israel on its own, as they were responding, you know, shooting helicopters, Apache helicopters, shooting up cars that were trying to get back into Gaza, many of them carrying Israeli hostages. Over the course of the war, the Israelis are killing close to 4,000 Palestinians a day, a month. But the Russians, by contrast, I think the number is only about 320 civilians per month. Quite a difference. And it is in that difference that the Russians have taken care not to kill, to try to minimize civilian casualties. They're not out trying to see how many civilians they can wipe out. They're not going to take out an apartment building that is inhabited by families just to kill Zelensky or the intelligence chief, Kirill Budanov. The Israelis are, and that's the big difference. So that's why Russia's coming out strongly condemning what they're doing.
How do the behavior of Israelis together with the policy of the United States is changing the face of Middle East in terms of what Israelis are doing and what the public opinion in the Middle East is changing, is turning against the United States while we have the government still trying to get in line with the United States?
Well, and prior until the start of this Israeli massacre of the Palestinians, the Hamas and the Palestinians in general did not enjoy widespread support. Or they, a lot of people would give them lip service, but they never really wanted to back them enthusiastically. That's changing. The support for the Palestinian cause has grown dramatically. It's putting growing pressure on governments in Turkey, Jordan, and Egypt. You've seen Erdogan, that gas bag of a leader, he's becoming more strident in some of his comments. Maybe one of these days he'll, actually wake up and do something. King Abdullah of Jordan, boy, he was, doing his best tap dance at the United Nations about the Israeli outrages, except, he continues to be in the pocket of the West. And there's a real question that, the anger could reach a point where he could be overthrown. Ditto for the al-Sisi in Egypt. So it's changing the face of the region. What it is it's creating an alliance, a global alliance against Israel that you would have had difficult putting together 3 years ago. Now it's becoming something more feasible. People are just disgusted with the bullying and murdering of the Israelis.
Are we getting to the point that these nations, these countries, are finally getting that the policy and the talking with the United States and trying to put pressure on Israel doesn't work, and Israel should be defeated on the battlefield in order to have to make them understand their limits? Or there is still some sort of hope in these countries that they can find a solution through the political settlement?
Well, political settlement's out of the question. And it's not feasible simply because the Israelis aren't willing to indulge in it. That's been, in fact, you could argue that the Palestinians and Iranians have been a little naive in this regard, thinking, oh, they could negotiate with the West and the West would play fair. No, the West is not going to play fair. Not at all. The prospects for a defeat on the battlefield are, I think, significant or high if Israel goes through with trying to invade and control southern Lebanon. I think it really could suffer a military defeat there, which would then throw the whole country into a panic. And, it'd be one thing if the military activities were taking place in complete isolation from the economic implosion, really, that's unfolding in Israel. Combine those two things, Israel's viability as a country is really going to be called into question if it suffers a military setback in southern Lebanon.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Larry, for being with us today.
All right, man. Always a
pleasure. See you on Friday morning.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.